This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
The details behind the Diddy indictment. Taylor Swift's stalkers. Jerry Lee trying to kill Elvis. Disgraceland dives into the dark side of entertainment every Tuesday. Follow and listen to Disgraceland on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Heidi Harris on 97.1 FM Talk.
Always a privilege hanging out for Mark Cox and crew as they take President's Day off. Thanks for joining me. You can follow me on all the socials at Heidi Harris Show. By the way, my podcast is up on the Odyssey app, in case you're curious. Heidi Harris Show, you can find it right there. And you may remember me from doing a Sunday night show here in St. Louis, but now I'm just doing the podcast at Heidi Harris Show. You can find it any place you listen to podcasts, but most specifically, the Odyssey app. So please check that out. All right, I guess we have to talk about Elon Musk and his 13th child. We have to, because it's a topic right now, okay? So apparently this chick, have you seen this girl, Ethan? This Ashley St. Clair?
I have, yes.
Okay, I think he's got a thing for brunettes, right? Pretty girl, dark hair, okay, whatever.
Yep, she's pretty.
I guess she was some kind of influencer, some kind of worked in, I don't know, political circles, worked for the Babylon Bee, I think, at one point, and some other things. Okay, good for her. She's 26 years old. It's now come to light that this is her second child with no husband. Okay, great. Am I judging? Yes, I am. Here's why I'm mad about this. I'm mad at Elon Musk because, by all accounts, this is his child. And I don't understand these guys. Whoever it is, Mel Gibson, Nick Cannon, why are you still having kids? Just get it clipped. Right?
I think it's a status symbol for some people, you know?
I think it is. I really think it is. But what's frustrating is it's hard on the children. This kid, if you believe her account, once again, obviously I don't know these people. If you believe her account, she talked to the New York Post about this. He's not even on the birth certificate. I mean, how would you like to be that child whose father did not acknowledge you at all? I mean, that is terrible. So I don't know who he even lives with. I don't even know. I know we had a couple of kids with the first wife. So whatever. Okay, all that doesn't matter. Clearly, he's cheating on somebody by having a relationship with her. And clearly, she was looking for a paycheck. That's why she made sure she got pregnant by this guy. Okay. I mean, did you really think you were going to get his undivided attention, sweetheart, if you had his 13th kid? I'm just asking. Did you really think he was going to be a good father and a good a partner? You think he was going to move in with you and you because you had his 13th kid, but not the 11th, 12th, or 10th, or anybody else? Really? I don't think she cared, and I think it's terribly selfish that she just had a child with somebody who was wealthy so she can get a payday out of it. I think it's terrible, absolutely terrible. And what bothers me the most about it is she considered herself a conservative influencer. She's got another kid. She's got a toddler from somebody else. She's only 26. Okay. So I guess she's got a nice apartment courtesy of Elon Musk, according to her.
How much do you think he pays in child support a month?
Probably as much as more than Nick Cannon or less than Nick Cannon.
I know, right?
You know what? I don't. And I listen, guys, I'm not trying to sit in judgment of people, all right? Really. It's just these kinds of things hurt children. I don't care what adults do, but children are hurt by this. And I know that Elon Musk has been out there saying people need to have more babies. Okay, I get that. People are not having a lot of children these days like they used to and like they should. even replacement in some countries is barely happening. Okay, I understand all that. But having children who need therapy when they're older because they never had two parents in a stable household is not really helping the world, do you think? Just procreating because to prove it still works? I mean, what are you doing? Unbelievable. You know, there was a talk show host years ago I used to listen to. And whether you like him or not, whether he's your cup of tea or not, you know Tom Likas. Okay. Tom Likas used to say, get it clipped and don't tell her. You know what? That's true. That because you know, here's the thing. When you're a wealthy guy, you know you're a target. You've heard these stories, and I've watched these documentaries, and you don't need a documentary to tell you this, where these girls will show up at bars and places like that where they think NBA players or other athletes are congregating. You've heard these stories, right? And these girls make sure that it's the time when they can potentially, right? They want a payday. And this is nothing new. She's a baby mama, and it breaks my heart for the child involved, because now this girl's got two kids. I don't even know where the first dad is. Two kids by two different people. What kind of life is your child going to have? It's terrible. And then, of course, people are trolling Elon Musk. You know, what kind of conservative values are those? That makes a difference, too. I mean, is the guy really a conservative guy in a lot of ways? Clearly not. But here's what really just frosted my shorts when I read this story the most. You know, she talks about the fact that she was told to keep it a secret. How terrible, once again, to be the child whose parents don't want to acknowledge your existence or one of your parents. That's terrible. Apparently, she's got an apartment in the financial district. So she's, you know, got a nice place to live, and she always will as long as she's got his child, which is what her plan, let's be honest here, okay? She said, I cannot explain the kind of primary pain you feel as a mother. You're talking to people and they ask you about the one kid, another one she already has, and you have to lie and carry this burden in secret. You have to lie to people you love. Well, that's because you made a bad choice, dear. I don't really know what she thought. She doesn't seem like a stupid person based on the organization she was working for, but why would you do this? What did you think was going to happen? You have to think things through. I'm going to get a paycheck if I can get this guy to have a child with. That's all she thought about, clearly. And here's the thing that made me the maddest. She said, I'm a good mom. That's what drives most of my decisions, and my kids are my whole world. Okay, no, you're not a good mom. You're not. I'm going to say it. I'm going to be just bold and say that. You're not a good mom, because the first thing a mom should do is provide a nest for her child. That's what the sparrows in my neighborhood do, right? They provide they make sure that they breed with somebody who's actually, you know, putting the nest together and out there working to support the kids and all those kinds of things. That's what they do. I mean, finches do that. Geese do that. Is it that hard? You make sure you have somebody to make a nest with before you have a child. You don't just chase the dollar signs. And now this kid is going to be without a father. Even if he acknowledges the child at some point and visits on occasion at some point, it doesn't matter. It's not the same. And I'm a child of divorce, so I get it. My father was always in my life. He never, ever left us because he wasn't living in the house. But when you're not living in the house and you're visiting your dad, which is what we did after my parents' divorce, and then I moved back in with just my dad a couple of years later, you're visiting. It's not the same. I'm so grateful that for my first 11 years of life, I guess it was, I was able to have the same parents in the same house, same bed, same home, same parents every single day. That's what I had. That's all I knew. Same friends, all that stuff. And nowadays, kids don't have any stability. And we've got multiple generations of children who don't have anybody in the household. And texting your kid is not the same thing as being a father. Because the little moments of parenthood that take place all day long, that's what you need to be doing. Instilling character in your children is not done through text or sending them to a nice college or paying for mom to have a nice apartment. That's not molding your child. And I'm really mad about this for the child's sake. I don't care what this girl does with her life, but it's just terrible. And it's irresponsible of him to be out there running around doing these kinds of things and taking a chance of getting somebody pregnant who's dying to get pregnant by you because you're wealthy. I know what you're saying. Well, you know, she's only there because you're so-and-so. But yeah, I know. But you're saying, I don't care. She's here. it's like Belichick, right? Right, Ethan? What is she, 24?
She's young. I know that.
I'm pretty sure Belichick has socks older than his girlfriend. But you know what? You could say, oh, she's only there because you're blah, blah, blah. And he's like, so? She's here. I don't care why she's here. Come on, guys. Grow up. How about that? And once again, I don't care if you're Leo DiCaprio and you date 20-year-olds till you're 90. I don't care. Doesn't matter to me. But don't bring kids into it. That's all I'm asking. Don't hurt the children. This hurts kids.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
It just aggravates me. All right. Like I said, I'm not trying to judge people as if I'm the end-all be-all of anything. I'm just, for society's sake, we need more children who are raised in stable environments, not fewer. How about that? Does that make sense? I think so. I'm Heidi Harris in for Mark Cox.
Heidi Harris on 97.1 FM Talk.
Always a privilege hanging out for Mark Cox and crew as they take a well-deserved day off. Happy President's Day, and aren't you glad we have a president we can cheer about? I don't know if you saw it, but yesterday he was at Daytona taking a lap in the Beast. Gosh, it was so great. So it's just fun to see what's happening. And I understand the price of eggs hasn't gone down and all that kind of stuff. And there are people who are complaining, oh, well, he hasn't turned the economy around in 24 hours. Like you said, he didn't say he would do that. He didn't say he would turn the economy around. My husband and I were just talking about this last night. You know, yes, there are prices that are still high and interest rates are still high and a lot of things have not changed. I get that. But can you imagine how things would be under Kamala Harris at this point? I cannot imagine. So when you look at that, you say things are better under Trump in a lot of ways. And there's a new sheriff in town. How about J.D. Vance over the weekend speaking in Munich, basically telling the people in the EU off, talking about free speech and talking about what they're trying to do as far as interfering in elections and things like that. God bless him. I love this guy. I was not sure about him. When he was first nominated, I thought, oh, J.D. Vance? I'd heard about him, and, you know, a lot of MAGA people liked him. Well, they like Marjorie Taylor Greene, too, and I don't like her. So just because MAGA people like a certain person doesn't mean anything to me. I have to look beyond that, because some of the people y'all champion. And when I say MAGA, I'm a MAGA, too, but some of these folks, forget about it. So anyway, I wasn't sure about him. And I thought, okay, Trump likes him. Okay, he's a MAGA guy. Okay, great. Well, we'll look into it. And I really hadn't followed him that closely. So the first day that he was nominated, I got his book. I've got it on, I couldn't find it in the stores. Didn't want to wait to get it on Amazon. I wanted to read it right away, and I was able to get a copy in the library, an ebook. I hate reading ebooks. I just hate them. I spend enough time on a computer, it's how I look at it. I just don't. I don't know. But I did read the e-version in about, I don't know, a day. And it was a great story. And many people I know saw the movie, The Hillbilly Elegy. Book was fascinating. But forget about that. I've watched the guy speak. I watched him debate. I see him nicely and forcefully. That's too strong a word. Nicely, basically telling people how it's going to be now. And letting people know the truth about various issues in a way that is not necessarily forceful, but it's nice. But he's very solid about the way he puts things. He's not gonna like Mumbles was. He's basically calling out a lot of stuff that's going on, and he's done it with a smile on his face. Whether it's reporters, whether it was at the debate, whatever it might be, he gives them the facts. He says, this is how it is. There's a new sheriff in town, and we're not going to put up with this nonsense. By the way, Zelensky, This is interesting, okay, as a result of, now we don't know what's going to happen. They're supposed to get together in Saudi Arabia. It looks like Ukraine might be left out. Don't know what's going to happen with that situation. And I don't know that Ukraine should necessarily be included in all the negotiations. You've got to get one side in the room first. You know, think about it. I was thinking about this morning as I was preparing for the show and all this stuff. If police, I thought of the analogy when police come, let's say you have an argument in your neighborhood. The other day we had somebody who reported a break-in, and luckily it turned out that the wind was knocking her door around and made her nervous. So, but there was a police helicopter and 5 units on my street. I said, what? Jeez. And I was walking my dogs, pushing the stupid dog stroller that I push because one of my dogs is old. And I put my hands up. I go, really? You need all this for me? Just kidding. Anyway, I did that. Anyway, great response. Thank you. I appreciate the police department. But I was thinking about if there is an incident in your neighborhood between you and a next door neighbor, let's say, and the police are called, the first thing they do is separate everybody, right? They want your side. They want their side. They don't want everybody in the same room. So it makes sense to me that if you're going to have any kind of negotiation, you start with Russia, see what they really want. Then you talk to Ukraine, see what they really want. What Ukraine wants is endless money from us to stay whole. And Russia does not want them to be in NATO. I'm not defending Russia. I'm not saying they're good guys. We understand that. But, you know, remember a couple of years ago, it's so funny to me how just a couple of years ago, we were making fun of Zelensky. You know, here's a guy who was like a TV host, and all of a sudden he's in charge of Ukraine. Everybody was making jokes about him. Ha ha, comedian, this and that. And the next thing, everybody's wearing yellow and blue ribbons on their lapels, trying to virtue signal everybody else. Oh, yes, it's all about Ukraine. Oh, there's no corruption there. Uh-huh. We all laughed about the corruption. And then, of course, one of the most corrupt countries in the world. And then, of course, when the Bidens were president, nobody really, when the Bidens were president, I should say that because they all were, nobody talked about the corruption in Ukraine. All of a sudden, it got real quiet. We know that. So, you know, we know what we're dealing with. Now, I'm not saying I want Russia to be coming in and just taking territory back from another country. I don't want that either. I'm glad I'm not in the negotiations. But the point is, I can understand how you start with Russia and say, okay, you're the aggressor. What do you want? Ba, 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 ba. What do we need to do to get this stopped? And Ukraine, what are you willing to have? But we know what Ukraine wants. Endless money sent to them when they can't win militarily. That's what they want. I mean, how long do we just keep giving them money? You know, when Russia could just keep putting people in a buzzsaw and losing people all day long. They've got the people to lose, and they're bringing in people from North Korea. So it's got to be stopped. Like I said, I'm glad I'm not in the negotiations. But interestingly, after J.D. Vance was talking in Munich, Zelensky has now called for what he calls an armed forces of Europe. Right. That's right, my friend. Armed forces of Europe. Yep. He says the time has come for the creation of an armed forces of Europe because the U.S. may no longer be counted on to support the continent. Well, I mean, there are times that we're going to have to go in and defend them, but they need to be ponying up their own money to defend themselves. And they have not. That's another thing Trump's been talking about. They're not ponying up the money. They're expecting us. When they get into a jam, you know, they here's the thing about Europe. They hate us. They criticize us. They hate Trump. They hate a lot of things Americans stand for. But the minute they get in a jam, they want our money. This is not what Americans voted for. We voted for what Trump is doing. Say, hey, you pony up for your own defense. And Zelensky is saying we need an armed forces of Europe. Go ahead, please start one. I think it's funny. And this is a word I see the story. I don't even know. I'm breaking a news story somewhere. Talking about how European leaders are reeling after Trump's decision to upend years of U.S. policy by holding talks with Russian President Vladimir Putin in hopes of ending the Russian-Ukraine war. Bah, bah, bah. Trump's special envoy for Ukraine and Russia on Saturday all but ruled out that Europeans would be included in any Ukraine peace talks. Oh, well. I want peace over there. I want people to stop dying. I want things to stop being destroyed. I want that. But Europe hasn't done anything for anybody else. You know, that Europe, all Europe does is stand there and wag their finger at us. That's all they ever do. Take our money and wag their finger and tell us how much we suck. That's what they do. You're terrible, you're terrible, you're terrible. We'll take your, then don't cash our checks. Then don't take advantage of what we do to help you militarily and financially. You break. It's fun to have a new sheriff in town, isn't it? God bless J.D. Vance. He's doing a great job. Boy, he told them off, too. It was fun. It's fun to watch. They don't know what to do because they have no power. It's so great. Coming up, we're going to speak with Ashley Smith-Thomas, political strategist and founder of this and CEO of the Freedom Fund USA. We're going to talk about what the judge has now done with USAID and President Trump, and much more to come on the Mark Cox Morning Show. I'm Heidi Harris in for Mark Cox.
Heidi Harris on 97.1 FM Talk.
Always fun filling in for Mark Cox and crew as they take a well-deserved day off on President's Day. I'm Heidi Harris, as the little liner mentioned. You can follow me, Heidi Harris Show, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, Rumble, all the good stuff. Ashley Smith-Thomas is here. She's a political strategist and the founder and CEO of the Freedom Fund USA. We're going to talk about the judge who's ordered a reversal of Trump's freeze on foreign aid. I mean, the whole thing is very confusing. Ashley, please clear it up for me because I'm following all these stories and I can't keep up.
Sure, absolutely. Well, first, thank you for having me. On Thursday, a federal judge had issued an order compelling the Trump administration to lift its three-week funding freeze on U.S. foreign aid. Judge Amir Ali issued the order in U.S. District Court in Washington in a lawsuit brought by two health organizations, AIDS Vaccine Advocacy Coalition and the Global Health Council that receives funding for their programs abroad. So in this order, Judge Ali noted that the Trump administration argued that it had to shut down funding for thousands of USAID programs abroad to conduct a thorough review and determine whether it should be eliminated. But the judge said that Trump officials failed to explain why there needed to be a blanket suspension. And according to the Associated Press, the ruling also barred Secretary of State Marco Rubio and other Trump officials from enforcing stop work orders that the Trump admin and Musk have sent to companies and organizations that are carrying out the aid. So in a letter to bipartisan lawmakers on February 3rd, Secretary of State Marco Rubio had said that the agency could be abolished after its reorganization over the coming days. So it's going to be interesting to see what happens, especially as we watch more unfold of what's coming out of USAID.
So I'm trying to figure out, we're speaking with Ashley Smith-Thomas, from founder and CEO of Freedom Fund USA, trying to figure out, does he have the power or does he not have the power to do this? I mean, the judge is saying you have to explain why. Why? Why should you have to explain it? Either you have the power or you don't.
Right, exactly. And right now, the Trump administration is moving full forward because they do have the power. And what's interesting is, in my opinion, that what we're seeing from these judges trying to block the Trump administration from halting their investigations into where taxpaying dollars have went is mere political, in my opinion. The left is crying foul. We've got Democratic senators and congressmen and congresswomen that are complaining about what the Trump administration is doing. We have some of the government unions that are coming forth trying to stop the Trump administration from firing government employees. The reason why government employees are being fired is because of insubordination, and they won't come into alignment of putting America first. And also they have mismanaged money. So what is interesting is what we're seeing of what's coming through DOGE and the exposure of what is happening with USAID is just mind-blowing, because you look at what the White House put out last week. For an example, some of our taxpayer dollars at USAID, $1.5 million was used to advance DEI in Serbia's workplace. Or the fact that there was $2 million sent to Guatemala for sex changes and LGBTQ activism. Or the fact that hundreds of millions of dollars to fund unprecedented poppy cultivation and heroin production in Afghanistan, which benefits the Taliban. And this is just to name a few. And so this is gross mismanagement of our taxpaying dollars by the federal government. And right now we're seeing that all come to light through DOGE, and the Trump administration is beginning to start holding people accountable.
Well, that's what the Democrats are going to do, Ashley. That's what they've said. They're just going to tie these things up in court as long as they possibly can. They have nothing else to do to try to go after Trump. That's all. That's their own strategy. Their only strategy.
Absolutely. That is their only strategy. So they're going to cry foul. They're going to try and tie him up in court. They're going to try and block him and stop him. And all that does is that just brings delay, and it slows down the momentum that has been building within these past 3 weeks. I mean, just to think that President Trump has only been in the office fourth 3 weeks, entering into his fourth week this week, and already what's been accomplished and already what's been uncovered and exposed is just mind-blowing. But that's what 77 million people voted for last November. They voted and gave a mandate to Trump and his administration to drain the swamp and bring reform, and that is exactly what we are witnessing.
Yeah, I think even people who didn't vote for Trump are looking at this and saying, what? They're spending my money on what? And I think a lot of them are actually grateful. Of course, some Democrats and, you know, in Congress are trying to say, well, we were trying to do this all along, which we know is a lie. But your average person on the street who doesn't benefit from a USAID job is saying, wait a minute, hold on. My money's going where? While people are still living in trailers in North Carolina, while people in California can't get back into their houses, all the things that are going on. And we're giving money to who? For sex changes and DEI education and all the other nonsense, condoms in other countries and all these things.
Oh, absolutely. And it's been really interesting watching on social media. I like to look at people's comments, and people, I can't tell you how many comments I've seen where people have said that either they were a Democrat and this is the first time they voted for President Trump in November, or that they are a Democrat and they are just shocked to see what is happening. And so I'm glad that this is occurring, that we're seeing this exposure, because it goes to show how overbloated our government is and the abuse of our taxpayer dollars. So by President Trump doing this through DOGE and his administration uncovering what is going on in these various agencies and departments, I believe that this is going to be the path to set our government up for reform, but also by shrinking it. President Trump had said he wants to shrink the government, give more power back to the states, give more money back to us taxpayers, and I believe that this is the path to make it happen.
Absolutely. Now, 775,000 people, according to some stats I've seen, 75,000 people have took President Trump's buyouts. Can I just tell you, as somebody who's been in radio for over 25 years, you know, we don't get 8 months pay. Okay. Right. They get rid of you. That's it. These people get 8 months and a buyout. 75,000 people have taken advantage of that. Okay, fine. But they're saying that 220,000 federal workers of the total federal government workforce had less than 1 year of experience as of March 2024. They're trying to get rid of them, too, which makes sense. And remember, when Elon Musk did this with Twitter, I keep referring to this because it's important. He fired about half the staff there. And I don't know about you, but I didn't notice any interruption in service. Right.
No, absolutely. And I'm glad that you brought that up. But, you know, there's a lot of reports out there. And I just think it's more, again, just the left trying to push propaganda in terms of that, you know, the government is not going to work and that this is going to really be harmful. But honestly, because of how overbloated our federal government is and the shrinking of it that we're seeing from the Trump administration, I don't think we're going to notice it. Now, there have been some reports that perhaps the ones who are probably going to feel it is more of your elderly Americans in terms of Social Security and when it comes to their Medicare, Medicaid benefits, what's going to happen with that. But again, I think that's going to be very minimal. And what we're witnessing here is that, again, it's just we need to shrink the government and there needs to be accountability and transparency. And that is what we're seeing from this administration. And that's what they promised the American people. And so I completely agree with you. I do not think that we're going to feel the effects. Because to your point, no one noticed the changes in terms of X when Elon bought Twitter and fired half of the staff. My X account is still working just fine.
We're speaking with Ashley Smith-Thomas from the Freedom Fund USA. I'm Heidi Harrison from Mark Cox. You know, it's interesting. I have a friend whose brother works for the IRS, and he's been staying at her house right now because he's buying a new house and yada, yada, doesn't matter. He works an hour and a half, she said, maybe two a day. Goes and gets a guitar lesson, goes to the gym, hangs out with his girlfriend, does all this other stuff while on my dime. Now, I don't care if Zillow wants to let all these people work from home. I don't care. Zillow doesn't work for me. But if you work for the IRS, you're working an hour and a half a day. I'm guessing somebody else could pick up the rest of those files that you're not getting to, right? I mean, come on. It's ridiculous.
Absolutely. And that was one of the things that I did not even know. And I was not even aware of the fact that our federal government under the Biden administration had it where people can work remotely up until 2028. And then they were going to have people start coming back into the office in 2029. So as soon as Trump came into office, which is great that this, again, is all being exposed, he immediately signed an executive order that every federal employee must return to the office and work Monday through Friday, 9 to 5. So I'm glad to see that, again, more accountability, and it's time for this to be happening, and I'm glad that it's happening.
Absolutely. And if you can work from home, you're a private company, and you find that people are doing the job, fine, great, perfect. But if you're working for me, As a taxpayer, you need to be where I can see that you're actually working and not hanging out, you know, binge watching. That's all I'm saying. Ashley Smith Thomas, Freedom Fund USA. Thanks for being here on the Mark Cox Morning Show. Appreciate you.
Thank you for having me.
Coming up, we're going to talk a little bit about some of these agencies and who's being canned. And once again, not picking on you if you're a federal employee. I'm not saying you're useless, but let's be honest here. A lot of these people are not really doing their jobs, and we certainly need to at least find out if they are. That's all I'm asking for. You know, you can tell if somebody's doing radio from home, whether or not they're doing their job, but you can't tell. An IRS guy works an hour and a half, she says, maybe two a day, the rest of the time, literally going to the gym, getting guitar lessons, doing all these things on my dime. That's wrong. Completely wrong. And the guy makes over 100 grand a year. Yikes. How many more people are like that? That's what we need to know. I'm Heidi Harris, in for Mark Cox.
Heidi Harris on 97.1 FM Talk.
Dun, dun. I had to do that. You know I had to. Gotta do it. Ethan's here with me. We are here filling in for the Mark Cox Morning Show. Glad to have Ethan at least here. At least everyone didn't abandon me.
I'll never abandon you, Heidi.
We were just talking about Kim St. Ange during the break, and she's now announced that she's having baby number two. Good for her. She's such a sweet girl.
Yep. One of the best.
Yeah, she is. And she's been feeling okay and everything, kind of, sort of?
As,
new baby Kim?
Yeah, as much as you can, I guess. Okay. You're talking to a guy. I don't know what it's like.
I know. And she, and you were telling me during the break she doesn't want to know before it's born?
I believe that's what she said, yeah.
Well, she'll let the child decide when it's five or six what it's going to be, right?
No, but, you know. No. Don't see that happening.
Wait till it's 10. Oh, I don't know. I want to be a boy. I want to be a girl. You know, I can't decide. Ugh. Yeah, we were joking about how much baby clothes cost, how much children's clothes. If I had a child, especially a baby that grows so quickly, I would be buying clothes at thrift stores, garage sales. There's no way I'd be shelling out for what baby clothes cost in stores. It's ridiculous how much they are.
Yeah.
And I guess it takes the same amount of stitching to make a baby's outfit versus an adult outfit. I mean, I understand that, but maybe not the same amount of fabric, but certainly the same amount of work. But it's stunning. You know what? And a lot of that gets stolen. I have a friend who used to do, what do they call it? Loss prevention at one of the big stores you'd recognize the name of. And he said one of the things that's stolen the most often is baby clothes. Maybe because they're small and they're easy to stuff in a backpack or something. I don't know. And what they do is they take them down to Mexico and sell them. Now, I'm not saying all the people stealing them are Mexican. I'm not saying that for a second. So just relax. But that's what this loss prevention guy told me. They take them down to Mexico and sell them. So I don't know who's stealing them, but the people down there are buying them. And I was thinking about how much stuff do you suppose on Facebook Marketplace is stolen? What do you want to guess?
That's a good question.
Right?
Let's hope none, right?
Yeah, I hope none. But, you know, there's a lot of stuff sold on eBay, Facebook Marketplace. I'm not saying how much of it's stolen, who knows, but you see things brand new with tags. Oh, really? And they have a ton of stuff that's brand new with tags. Huh. You just bought all that stuff with brand new and you decided you didn't want it? Is that how it goes?
And none of it fit.
Exactly. I'm not accusing anybody of anything. I'm just saying it can be a little shady at times. That's all. All right. So we were talking about layoffs moments ago with the federal government. And Trump has fired 10,000 federal workers across multiple agencies. I'm quoting some of this from USA Today. As part of its large-scale reductions in the government workforce. 10,000 federal workers. Okay. 75,000 people took Trump's buyouts, which was 8 months of pay, right? I think that was the number. What a deal. Such a deal. I will tell you that the real estate market in D.C. has been interesting. I was looking at one of the real estate apps this morning. And how many of these houses coming soon, coming soon, coming soon, coming soon. And not necessarily, there's some big houses online, but some smaller condos, people who had like an apartment or whatever it might be, high-rise apartment, whatnot. I mean, things are on the market big time in D.C. because people are terrified. Well, you know, it doesn't make me happy to say that about y'all. It does not make me happy to say, you know, people should, you know, be fired. I don't want that. But by the same token, if you're wasting my money as a taxpayer, sorry, you were in one of those jobs. And can I just be honest? Here's the thing. This is harsh, but it's true. If you were in one of those money-wasting government jobs, you knew it, didn't you? You knew you were wasting money. You knew you were going, ha, 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 we're writing checks for this, ha, ha, ha. You knew you were. So in that particular case, we all know when money's being wasted. Everybody know, in any job that you have, you know when money's being wasted, when time is being wasted, when people aren't doing what they're supposed to be doing and somebody's getting away with it. You know that. Or you're sending money to some ridiculous cause in another country, people who hate us anyway, who are never going to benefit from our money. Look at this particular, this agency in San Diego now. San Diego, there's a migrant shelter, Jewish Family Service of San Diego. This is one of these NGOs and non-governmental organizations. Shutting its doors and laying off more than 100 employees. Remember, their job was to process people who should not be here to begin with. These are people who should never have gotten over the border. You stop wherever you come from, I don't care, Guatemala, El Salvador, whatever. You got to come through Mexico to get here from the south anyway, not from Canada. We'll talk about that too. But so these people shouldn't have been in here. They shouldn't have set foot on the soil. And once they did set foot on the soil and somebody could see they were here, boom, you're out of here. They never should have been here to begin with. This organization in 2024 had received $22 million in FEMA money, $22 million in taxpayer money. $22 million. They laid off 100 people, over 100 people, because since Trump took office, there's been nobody showing up. Ha, 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 ha. Well, there you go. And how many organizations are out there like that? Crazy. 936,000 people as of the end of December, 936,000 people had made appointments to be paroled through that app. Remember that app that they had? Biden administration had that app. And you get on the app and they'd make an appointment and then they'd go meet with you. No. Nobody should be here. None of these people should be here. But it's so funny that 900,000 people, over 900,000, had made appointments to be paroled through the app. But then January 20th, the app was shut down. With migrants no longer able to use the CBP, that's the Border Patrol, one application, the San Diego Rapid Response Network Migrant Shelter Services, operated by Jewish Family Services, has not received new asylum-seeking families and individuals released from short-term federal custody into our care. Due to these changes in federal policy and funding, the migrant shelter will be paused until there's better understanding of future community needs, blah, 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 blah. You know what? It's like the homeless situation, right? The homeless situation is an industry. There are people who make money off of continuing problems. There are people who make money in the animal shelter business because they don't want to solve the problem. And they have a job and they work in the animal shelter business. They don't want to solve it. They just want to work in it. Same with the homeless situation. Same with the illegals. They're not in the problem solving business. They're in the money taking business. That's what it comes down to. They're part of the industry. And this is what Trump is trying to put a stop to and doing a pretty good job so far, as far as I'm concerned. I'm Heidi Harris. Coming up next hour, Jesse Jane Duff. Looking forward to talking to her. And Tom Ackerman, KMOX sports director. Is Kelsey going to retire in time to save the Chiefs some money? We'll find out. I'm Heidi Harris in for Mark Cox.